The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Chairshot NFL. You can follow us at Chairshot NFL. You can follow me at PC Tony. You can follow the IWC War Chief at IWC War Chief, none other than Andrew Belaz himself joining me, as always here. Week one preview. Week one preview, my friend. We are getting into things are happening for realsies now this weekend. In fact,
it's real football?
Yeah, like 26 hours from when we're recording right now.
Wow. Go figure, man. Like, we were just, there was no football, then there was fake football, then there was no football again.
And now there's no ESPN for PC Tunney.
Is that a negative thing?
Well, I do like the Peyton Manning cast. That's really the only part of the NFL I'm going to miss.
You do realize, like, you know, it was coined by our wonderful friend Chris Platt, but nefarious means exist.
Or
you could probably still watch the Manning cast.
Or these billion-dollar companies can stop fighting over my money and just give me their damn product. DirecTV, ESPN, since Sunday afternoon.
It's just gotten worse since streaming services became a thing. We used to just be able to bitch about, what, satellite TV, cable, or DirecTV, or Dish Network. And now it's, let's see, there's a streaming app for one thing, and then there's another one, then you can't watch this movie unless you have this streaming app. You pay more money for apps than you did for cable now.
Oh, yeah, you can, if you want all of them.
But that's my point, though.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I agree.
You have to have Hulu. You have to have, like, okay, now Disney and Hulu were combined, but what about Paramount? And Paramount's picking up a bunch of stuff people might want. They have to juggle subscriptions. You remember cable, where it was just like you had these channels, watch what was on?
Listen,
I'm spoiled now.
Yeah, we are. And I don't want to go back. I mean, if you're smart enough to get the plan where, you know, you can use three different IP addresses, you share like 9 or 10 streaming services between you, your mom, and your sister. That's what people could do, right? Like, I don't know if anybody that does that or even would have a mom.
I don't even know people
with moms and sisters. I'm just saying those are three people, and like the son slash brother, that would be a they could do stuff like that. Make it cheaper for everybody.
No, I get you. Family plan type thing, but it's still ridiculous. Especially with one of our games this week being on the cock. So, like, They gotta stop putting shit on streaming services. Like,
oh, do you mean the Packers and the Eagles?
Yeah, I do.
It is. It's also on in Wisconsin, though. It's also on local.
Cause it's Wisconsin. Network. What the? That doesn't count.
Yeah, well,
it's also on local TV if you're local to the Packers, even though you're not local to Brazil. So,
I'm trying to see what station it's on.
Well, that's good. All right, for all of the
it's on NBC. I think it is on NBC as well.
That's not what I've been hearing. I've been hearing it was an exclusive on the Cock.
Oh, maybe it is. But here it's on NBC as well. So
that could be just be the benefit of local TV.
If you really want to watch the game, I can take my laptop by Dan and just turn it on the screen and you can watch it.
Or I'll just succumb to nefarious means like we were talking about before. Like,
or you could go to a bar and hang out with people.
For an Eagles-Packers game.
I mean, I'm sure Buffalo Wild Wings will have it on.
But that means there will be Eagles fans, given the proximity of where I live.
I'll send you a Packer jersey.
I would need a few guns.
Spread the love.
No. I get what you're saying, but no. It's Eagles fans. Jesus Christ.
All right, fine.
Either a gun or you bring a dictionary because you can confuse them with words too because they're pretty fucking stupid. So, like,
well, before Andrew digs all 6 feet of his own grave, why don't we take a commercial break and come back with our predictions here? NFL week one, right here, Chair Shot NFL. Yes, sir.
If it's only 6 feet, my toes will still stick out. So, fuck all y'all.
We'll be right back.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Indeed, Chris. Always use your head and head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick yourself up a chair shot t-shirt. Plenty of great designs, and you don't have to get it in a t-shirt. You can get it in a tank top, a long sleeve, or a hoodie. Get it in soft style. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Chair Shot Radio Network, all your favorite streaming platforms, and, of course, on thechairshot.com. Tons and tons. All the coverage you need at thechairshot.com. for your professional wrestling needs. All right, Andrew Belez, PC Tunney, Chairshot NFL Week 1 preview. Do we want to do the power rankings first?
I mean, we can kick off with that. That seems to be something that like everybody else kind of does and seems to get people going, start a conversation.
We have a secret weapon, if you will, next week for a new segment that we're going to use throughout the year, but we need the first week to take place before this said segment will appear in
that
this very spot. So I think we're going to start next week with our secret weapon. We'll leave the power rankings here, and then we'll give you our losing picks, if you will. So first, well, Andrew, you're the keeper of the official power. I mean, like, your power rankings are what's officially known to the world. I'm just here to kind of play along.
It's always nice to hear your opinion since you were, like, high on the Niners, even when everybody else is just like, no, we have to dog them a little bit because they lost 3 games in a row. And you're just like, no, they're still the Niners. Fuck you. They're going to go to the Super Bowl anyway. You willed that into existence, you know?
I watch football with my eyes.
You do, and I do as well, and when they look bad, they look bad. I can't just be like, they're still better than the rest of the crop.
They did have short-term injuries, though, that we knew were short-term, you know, and I was like, well, they're going to get a couple of these key guys back, and would preface it with, hey, if they do and they stay healthy, and that's what happened.
And, you know, if the turf monster didn't kill, Dre Greenlaw in the Super Bowl, we could be talking about a different game, too.
Oh, and if the Packers had a kicker, we could be talking about something completely different altogether. But
and if it wasn't for my horse, I wouldn't have spent a year in college. So, there we go.
Yeah, if your grandmother had wheels, she'd be a bicycle, okay?
Hey, I love that one, too.
Oh, shit. All right, go ahead, bud. Come on, you're
you want to start top or bottom? How do you want to slow roll this?
I mean, I think we start. I think we bring them up to the top, don't we?
Yeah, we should. So I'm a little curious to see who you have at 32.
All right.
My answer is the Patriots.
The Patriots are like the first team out of the bottom five.
What?
I don't have
so
them
the
in
Patriots,
the bottom five.
Who are basically sacrificing Jacoby Brissett behind an O-line that they don't trust Drake May behind, you think they're like 27th?
Sure.
Who do you have at 32 then?
The Carolina Panthers.
Well, I have them at 31, but yeah, like, so at least they're not murdering people.
So, all you really have a problem with is me having the Patriots five spots ahead of where you have them.
They have basically come out and said Brissett got hurt in the preseason, but we don't want to kill Drake May right away. So let Brissett take a few lumps.
They said Brissett could have finished that game if he, like, when he got injured, they just pulled him because they weren't going to see that much more from him. But whatever. I think we're talking way too much about the shitty teams.
Okay. So if my 31 is the Panthers, your 32 was the Panthers, who's your 31?
The New York Football Giants.
Oh, I have them at 30.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, they don't have Saquon Barkley anymore, and they still have Daniel Jones, so.
Hey, you never know. Danny Dimes could live up to his whole Eli Manning affiliation or, you know, analogy that people wanted to say in the beginning when he got drafted, because Eli had 2 years where he was, like, lucid and remembered he could play football. Maybe that's going to happen to Danny.
We'll see. I'm really staying away from any Giants in my draft, which takes place in an hour and 40, hour and 40 minutes here.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, probably going to do that. So you have
the team looks rough.
You have the Giants at 30. I have the Las Vegas Raiders at 30.
Really?
Yeah.
I have the Raiders a touch above the bottom five, but not by a lot.
Right. So maybe I should have had. That's our kind of our flip is the Patriots and the Raiders. I would say then a little bit more.
Do you think
drastic.
The Raiders are a worse team than
I
the Patriots?
I don't think Antonio Pierce is a great coach. I think there's just a guy that came in a bad situation and had the locker room. Gardner Minshew is their quarterback. They lost Josh Jacobs. Davante Adams doesn't want to be there. I just don't believe in the Las Vegas Raiders this year.
That's a solid enough assessment. I can't really argue with your logic there, but at least on paper, they look better than the Patriots.
I would still love to have Zamir White on my team. I picked him up towards the end of last year, but I'm not high on them. So
Max Crosby is still on that team, right? He didn't get traded.
He is an animal.
Have a concussion.
He is an animal.
Yeah.
All right.
Just saying.
Who's 29?
Got the Cardinals.
Really?
A lot of question marks on that team.
I think
they still weren't good when Kyler came back last year.
Yeah.
They beat an Eagles team that was spiraling and sucking, so that doesn't really fucking count. And we don't know what Marvin Harrison Jr. is just yet.
I see. Now I'm in the other boat where I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be excellent. I think he's going to help bring that offense back. And what's really going to help bring that offense back is Kyler Murray is fully healthy. He's 2 years removed from the injury now. He's able to move around and maybe make some plays with his feet a little bit more smarter than he did earlier on his career. So I think they're going to rebound. I think you almost get two number one draft picks back, considering Kyler Murray can be the guy that he was drafted to be again. And if he stays healthy and Marvin Harrison Jr., man, so we are in a three keeper league. So there's 30 guys already gone off the board. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be the number one pick in our draft this year. So that just tells you something. And I've been hearing he's been going in the top 20 in some drafts that don't have keepers.
Well, sure. So from a fantasy perspective, he might be fine. Larry Fitzgerald was solid in all facets of his career as well, but still didn't get a ring. Still didn't get many playoff wins.
I'm just picking them not to be in the bottom five. I didn't even say they're going to make the playoffs. Your word.
I'm just saying on paper, the Cardinals don't look too different than last year, and we don't know what Harrison Jr. is yet. We can assume, but you know what they say about assuming.
I have the Mayo-loving Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans at 29.
Are you sure it was 29? You had to think about that for a second.
Yeah, I forgot. Next one's 28. I forgot where we were at.
Okay, yeah, so 20.
Yeah, it's
the Titans
here.
I have at
it's
like here. 26. I have them just kind of outside looking in.
I don't know. They bring in Pollard, where I think they might have been better off just sticking with their own young guy and giving him the lion's share of the carries. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins has much left to offer. Treylon Burks is always underwhelming. I don't think – who's the coach there right now? Is it still Vrabel?
No, Vrabel got released.
Yeah. So
I forget who they brought in, but
if they don't make the playoffs, this guy's gone.
Oh, probably, yeah, but –
I forget.
I mean, the Titans were at least scrappy last year. That could have been Vrabel. It could have been other things, but they were in a couple games. And Levis was still a rookie. Like, Levis had moments where he looked good last year that you can build off of and go, all right, he could be decent. So that's why I didn't want to, like, shove him down into the question mark zone or the shitty team zone.
Brian,
because that's really all this is for me, is the bottom five are mostly question marks or teams that are, like, abjectly terrible on paper.
So maybe I shouldn't have this team in the bottom five, but I do. It's the Minnesota Vikings. Sam Darnold is their quarterback.
That's actually who I have at 28, and that's exactly the reason I started with. I gave myself like little talking points in case we wanted to actually extrapolate on this, and the first one I have is Sam Darnold's the starting quarterback. So it's funny. It's like you're reading off of my paper. How dare you? You're supposed to change the answers a little bit when you copy the homework. Stop it.
Yeah, and I still don't think they've found – I mean, Aaron Jones is probably the biggest improvement on that team. We'll see how healthy Justin Jefferson is. He looks good in camp, so – but Aaron Jones has still got it. I wish he was still on the Packers. And I'll give you a reason – I'll tell you a reason right now that's – before I forget when we get there. But all the things that Aaron Jones does that you can see on the stat sheet, but one you might miss even watching the game on the field is he was probably – in the top five of running backs in the backfield, picking up pass rushers, blocking. And Jordan Love is going to continue to need that kind of guy. And I hope the Packers have found that guy.
Well, Darnold's definitely going to need it.
Yeah. Oh, let's get to the good teams.
Let's stop wallowing.
Yeah. You go first. So that way you can go first on number one.
Okay. So I got the Strouds at five. The Strouds, their schedule is a little harder than it was last year, but they've got all the hype. They got extra pieces with Danielle Hunter, Dalton Schultz. Even Tommy Townsend might help with the addition to help establish some kind of like winning mentality because he came from the Chiefs for a couple years. So he knows how to win, even if he's just a punter. So, and yeah. The last two out of three games, they have like the Chiefs and the Ravens. If you look at the schedule, it's a little rough, but on paper, they're just as good as they were last year, if not a little better. They're young, but they got a little more experience. And so, yeah, I think fifth feels good for the Texans. What about you?
Yeah, the term on paper can be used for the additions of Mixon and Diggs because they should help, but
that's why I didn't mention them because I'm just like, eh.
So I bring that up because I think it's their defense that's one of the most underrated units in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They're really fucking good on defense. And if their defense can continue to grow like they did throughout the season last year, this team's going to be a contender again. And I obviously think that can happen. And I obviously think that Diggs and Mixon can be more than just additions on paper. I think that these guys know they're in a scenario with a super talented quarterback, a really smart head coach, and a solid defense where, hey, if they can just contribute, play their role, and shine when their time is called, this is a team that can go to the Super Bowl.
So does that mean they're also your five, or did you just feel like extrapolating?
They're my five.
Oh, look at that. Okay, I like that. So who do you have it for then?
I desperately want to bang on the drum all day and let you know that I would like to say go Pack go. I have the Green Bay Packers at number four. I think this is going to be the most dynamic offense in the entire league. Like I said, I hope one of these running backs they've found that can handle the pass rush 80 to 90% as well as Aaron Jones did would suffice for me. But also the addition of the new defensive coordinator, Halfley, and him going to a 4-3, dumbing down the defense and cranking up the aggressiveness. And that's what this team needs. There's eight or nine first-round fucking draft picks on defense, okay? Mm-hmm. Preston Smith is the oldest guy on the team at 31, and he's the only guy in his 30s. This team is primed and pumped and ready for success this year, and it's also a team that I can see making the Super Bowl.
Well, I'll let you know. I have the Packers at 6. So they didn't quite make my top five.
No, that's all good. I can understand. I know who's probably in that top six that I don't have, so that's fine.
I'm pretty sure I know who it is, too. So, but my number four is the ones you were banging the drum for all last year, and that's the Niners, which all of the drama with Trent Williams holding out and finally coming to terms with that, Ayuk, now the Ricky Pearsall situation where he got involved in a shooting and the Niners have, it's a fucking circus at the moment. The distractions, the drama, the fact that Purdy's going to have to get paid next year. So you would think their window's starting to close a little bit because you can't pay everybody. They're still good, obviously, but I'm not confident enough in them to put them in the top three, but they're obviously still a top five team.
I'll give you my thoughts on them shortly.
Oh, okay, so it means you have them in your top three. Look at that. So my number three team is the Baltimore Ravens.
The Baltimore REY Vans?
Yes, the REY Vans.
They are my three as well.
Okay, look at that. Ray is probably pissed off at us for not having them too or something like that. But, that they were, the regular season prom queens and they got fucking rolled in the fucking postseason by a Chiefs team that everybody thought kind of was on the back end and shitty, and Ravens didn't look too good. When it really comes down to it, they have a few people healthy right now. They've got Derrick Henry as an addition. They lost pieces on the defense like Queen, and they're trying to replace it with younger talent, but the talent is still a question mark. So I feel like they regressed slightly. If you would have put them at two at the end of last year, just because of how dominant they were in the regular season, I think they lost a half of a step. And you never know what you're going to get out of Derrick Henry. Is he going to come out and be is he going to be like LeBron and he's old, but he's still got the juice and can still go? Or is it going to be picking up Charles Barkley at the end of his career? You know what I mean?
No, I think Henry can go, and I think they'd be smart to keep him to 15 carries a game till we get to the last four or five games of the year. Justice Hill is a really solid backup, and Lamar Jackson...
They might forget they have a running game in the postseason again if they don't run him enough, though.
Lamar Jackson is going to get a ton of yards on the ground. Mark Andrews stays healthy. That offense is just going to continue to be good. Like you said, the regression is on defense. I still have him as a top three team in the league. I still have this team having one of the top three coaches in the league as well. So they're number three in my opinion.
Which I think is ironic since didn't we both pick the Bengals to win the North this year?
Yeah, but
we've got the Ravens above the Bengals most likely. Cause I don't think the Bengals are your two team.
No, I just don't have them there yet. By the end of the season, that's where I have them.
I gotcha. I'm not saying there's bullshit because we both picked the same thing, but
right.
I think it's funny that at least on paper, the Ravens should be very good. It's just a couple question marks.
The team ranked number one to start the college season doesn't always win the championship. You know what I mean? So it's all good. It's all good.
True.
We're telling a story.
Yeah, I know Florida State wasn't ranked number one, but they went from an undefeated season and now they're 0-2 and looking bad.
Yeah, first time ever be out of the top 25, starting in the top 10 to start a season. So yeah, I got 49ers at number two.
I figured.
They are the defending NFC champions. They still have all those pieces, and who's to say they don't come out and kick some ass this weekend as well? So. Brock Purdy has proven to me now that he's a guy that can take a team to the Super Bowl because, he did. And I think he can continue to do it. Ayuk is back. Debo's there, hopefully healthy for the season. Trent Williams, he's there. He's going to be there. The only big question mark is can McCaffrey stay healthy this year? And as a fantasy football guy who has him on a beekeeper contract, I really hope he can.
That's a risk. The fact that he stayed healthy all last season, that doesn't really bode well for this season.
He didn't, though. He got hurt at the end of the year.
Okay, but not enough to keep him out. You know what I mean? It wasn't like the Panthers where he'd play six games and be dead for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I had him that year too.
And you still pick him. Like, do you not realize the stove is hot? But were you that kid that just kept putting your hand on the burner?
When he plays,
it's nice, it's red, it's cute.
But when he plays like last year in his MVP kind of caliber years, you win money. So there you go.
So take like the three or four losing seasons over the one really good one just because you're like, hey, look, he's good when he's not dead.
So do you really have the Detroit Lions at number two?
I do.
Wow.
They got better. On paper, they got better. Mm-hmm. You know, they have Carlton Davis, they have Marcus Davenport, DJ Reader. Like, everything that was good got a little bit better. And honestly, their schedule looks pretty soft. So, I mean, they've really only got, what, five teams that are decent on their schedule with the Rams, the Bills, the Bucks, the Texans, and the Niners. The rest are either in division or fucking lollipops. So they're almost a guaranteed 12-win team just from their schedule, unless people get hurt or something crazy happens. But on paper, they should be vying for the top spot in the league.
We shall see.
Mm-hmm. Which, at number one, I don't think anybody's going to argue that.
No.
It's the Buccaneers. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to Chairshot NFL. The show has ended after this many years and 2 weeks.
It's the Chiefs. We know it's the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's got to be.
I have the Bucks down at 15, just for your information.
I know you did
the
whole...
I'm not homering that much, you know what I mean?
I know you did the whole thing. I didn't have a chance to. Maybe I will next week. But yeah, Chiefs are number one, and as long as Patrick Mahomes is healthy, I think they're going to be okay.
And they got better, though. Sure, Hollywood Brown's hurt for this week, but he'll be back. Like, they proved they can lose six or seven games and still be fine, whatever the hell it was last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then that Steele, their fullback, running back, fucking bulldozer kid, like, he's going to kill some kids this year, so it's going to be fantastic to watch.
I can't argue with that. We'll see. We'll see if when their luck runs out. No one's ever three-peated in the Super Bowl era, so.
True. Teams have gone multiple times. Like, the Bills have gone four in a row. They just didn't win any.
Right. Well, yeah. Sorry, Bills fans. Andrew had to remind you of that.
Hey, you know, you're the one that just decided to, like, ole around it last week when we were talking about Buffalo. And I'm like, yeah, what good thing came from Buffalo? And you're just like, nope, I'm sticking to my point. You can't talk about the Bills. You can't talk about the Sabres. You can't talk about shit. Buffalo sucks when it comes to sports.
Good thing they got wings, folks. Good thing they got them wings. Buffalo wings. Yeah? No?
I'll give it to you.
All right, thanks. Okay. Well, as we transition into taking care of making our picks this week, I always like for people to just remember.
Cuidado, mucho cuidado, que estás tomando por un rumbo equivocado. Cuidado con tus mentiras.
Those hotels in Vegas, folks, they just keep getting bigger. All right, Andrew, excellent slate week one here. We got a Thursday game, we got a Friday game, we got Sunday night and Monday night games. Kicking off here Thursday with the Super Bowl defending champions, Kansas City Chiefs, hosting the Baltimore Ravens. Two of our top Our number one and number three power ranking teams right off the bat here. This game's on NBC. It's going to be hot. It's supposed to be 90 degrees in Kansas City. So I'm guessing they'll be a little cooler as we go on in the night. Chiefs, 3-point favorites, over under 46, Andrew.
Ooh. Well, obviously I like the Chiefs. They're a number one. I can't have them lose right at the gate when they're a number one team. Over under 46, though, that's iffy. I'm going to say under until their offense proves they can produce with what they have now. Because they weren't really a high-scoring team last year. Like, the defense is what kept them in games. They kind of scored, like, 20 to 24 points. And if they win with that, that means, you know, the Ravens score less than 24, which most of those numbers are below 46. So I think under is where I'm heading.
I mean, I would take the Chiefs in the over, to be honest with you. I think Chiefs cover at home. Like we said, the Ravens defense, still one of the best in the league, but it has some losses on it.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see a higher scoring game to kick off the NFL season. Super Bowl champs win by probably a touchdown, maybe like a 34-27 kind of game.
Sure, sure. I'm thinking more like 24-18-ish. Okay.
One gets you your money, the other one gets me mine.
More or less, yeah. That's how we validate our answers. See how that works?
Friday game, which is throwing a wrinkle in a bunch of plans locally here around Wisconsin. I know there's some wrestling events from people I know that are involved in those. There's high school football events where people aren't thrilled with. The Brewers actually moved the start time of their game from 7:15 back to 5:10. So, Friday night football from Sao Paulo, Brazil. This is an Eagles home game. They're 2.5-point favorites, over under 48.5 against the Green Bay Packers.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
I'd take the Packers here, and I'll take the over, just because we talked in week zero, even though I guess this is technically week one, even though it hasn't happened yet. But I don't trust the Eagles. Sirianni's a fucking whack job. I don't think he's nearly as well put together as people think he is. The coordinators were what got him there. Obviously, last year, those coordinators moved on. We've got new coordinators. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't really like what I see. But it's the Eagles. You never know. But I'm picking the Packers in the over because fuck the Eagles at the moment.
So I'm going to predict the score of every Packers game this year.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Are you ever going to have the Packers lose?
I'm going to pick the Packers in the over every game, and the score will be 99 to nothing.
Stop it. Stop it. You don't have, like, an AP cred for anything. You're not, like, the fucking commentator at the fucking game. Like, you can have a bias, and you can pick however you want. Just pick normal.
99 nothing.
Stop it. I'd like that. It's not going to happen.
I expect a really good game, and I expect Jordan Love and this offense to show just how prolific they're going to be this year.
So is it going to be over 48.5?
Yeah, 99 to nothing.
So I guess we're going to need to start having that, like, that preface warning that, like, the McAfee show does, where it's like, this show is comedic informative.
Well,
don't take anything we say because we're fucking morons. Like, that kind of thing.
I guess in a way, I'm just refusing to pick the Packer games this year.
I mean, you just refused the Packers in general last year because you were salty until, like, Love started figuring it out. Then you're like, oh, yeah, I like this team. That's right. I've always liked this team. Shut up. Uh-huh. I've been here. I've been watching. Yep. Here since day one, Tony.
Edit podcast 31 minutes 54 seconds.
yeah, exactly.
Sunday afternoon, early afternoon, noon Eastern, one Eastern games. So let's start with the Steelers at the Falcons. Falcons -3, over under 42. This game is on Fox. Kirk Cousins, debut for the Falcons. Russell Wilson, debut for the Steelers.
What did you say the over-under was?
42.
I think that's going to be an over, and it's going to be a Falcons win.
I want to agree with you. Until I see anything from the Steelers offense, you know, how good could Russell be there? They also said they got packages for Justin Fields. I mean, that just seems like if you got two quarterbacks, you don't have one.
It's goofy college shit. How many times have we seen teams do that where they're just like, we've got this athletic, you know, gadget quarterback, like Saints did it with Taysom Hill. You know, I think the Eagles did it with Michael Vick at first when they picked him up, when I think McNabb was still the starter. And then it was like McNabb, then Garcia, then it was like Vick, or however that exactly trickled out. But you can't do that. You can't have a fucking gadget player and a starting quarterback. Like, that's just goofball shit. That's fucking rinky-dink circus crap. So hopefully the Falcons beat the brakes off them.
Yeah, I would go over. I think we're all looking for that Falcons offense to take the next step with Kirk Cousins coming in, you know, letting Drake London, Kyle Pitts realize their true potential.
Maybe feed Bijan Robinson, too.
I wasn't finished. And a head coach that will actually give him the fucking ball this year. So we'll see how that goes. Arizona Cardinals taking a trip to Buffalo. Buffalo 6.5-point favorite, over under 48. Possibility of rain during this game.
I'm going to say under, but I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
Cardinals to cover, win outright? What do you think?
Win outright.
Okay. I got Buffalo in the over. I think there's going to be
I don't trust Buffalo.
A lot of scoring here. A lot of scoring in this game.
If it's raining, there won't be that much scoring from Buffalo.
It doesn't have to rain that hard.
I'm just saying, though. Like, it's easier to lose Kyler Murray between raindrops than it is, you know, Josh Allen. Kyler Murray is fucking, you know, 4 foot nothing. He's the size of a raindrop. He'll just blend in and run.
I think they're both going to lose their opposing defenses and score a lot of points.
Wait, one of these teams had a defense to talk about?
I mean, they've had talented players, so we'll see.
Sure.
Yeah, I
sure
think the question marks are there for both teams this season. Titans at Bears, Chicago, sending out what hopes to be a quarterback that could throw for 30 touchdowns and 4,000 yards for the first time in franchise history. Weather looks great. Bears 3.5-point favorites at home against the Titans, over under 45.
I'm going to say under, but I'm going to go with the Titans to just win outright.
I like the Bears in the under.
Bears have upside. I'm not going to ignore that, but until I see it, I don't believe it because it's the Bears.
Yeah, like, I mean, I believe in the Bears way more than the Titans, and the Bears are at home, so, yeah.
I believe in Santa Claus more than the Bears.
I like Santa Claus.
No, I didn't say like, I said believe in.
No, yeah, we can.
So you leave milk and cookies out?
No, you just asked me if we could do another Pot is War holiday special this year, and I'm saying, oh yeah, we can.
Did I?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Did I? That's what you heard?
That's what I heard.
You might want to, let's see, go back to the edit room button. Where are we at now? Like 33 minutes or something? Yeah, you might want to edit that or listen back one more time just to see if you got it right. That's all.
Look for the Pot is War holiday special this year before New Year's Eve and after Christmas. That's the Pot is Whores. Pot is Whores. Pot is Whores.
The Pile of Whores.
These
the
piles.
Pile of Whores. Yeah. The invitational.
I'm not
like this. Pile
here's
of
the problem.
Whores. Lactose intolerant Christmas invitation.
This happened to me yesterday. This happened to me yesterday recording the oddity. I didn't drink during the show. I'm not drinking during this show. So it's like I stumble a little bit. But yes, the pod whores known as Pod is War. You can find them for a special holiday edition. Andrew, PC, and Chris. I'm guaranteeing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're gonna go with the. Do you have the soundbite for like the Charles Barkley guarantee that he does on the TNT show?
No, I don't.
Shit. I figured you would have that one.
I'd rather pull the one. I'd pull the soundbite from Tommy Boy, though, where he goes, oh, kid, son, you want a guarantee? I'll shit in a box and slap a guarantee on it if that's what you want.
Okay, fair enough.
Speaking of a piece of shit in a box, the Patriots taking on the Bengals in Cincinnati. Cincinnati 8.5-point favorites, which is likely the biggest spread of the weekend.
Bengals win 99-0. Come on, stop it.
Over under 40.5.
Over. Bengals,
yeah, I got Bengals. Yeah, I got the Bengals to cover in the over. Bengals put up 30 some points here.
Bengals put in Browning in the fourth quarter probably because they're up by so much.
I don't know about that, but we'll see. We'll see. Texans and Colts in an underratedly important game here, which could be the top two teams in the South. I'm saying the Colts could be decent if they stay healthy, I think. But
I was waiting for you to see where you were going with that underratedly important. Like, is Richardson going to make it through the game?
Well,
that's important. That's what I take from this.
Houston starts off with one of the toughest road, you know, in division games that they can have in that division. So what do you want me to tell you? They're 3-point favorites, though, over under 48.5.
The toughest in that division is like, you know, the toughest in division in the NFC South or the East. Come on. But I don't know. I'm still taking the Texans. And what was it? 43.5 for the over under?
48.5.
40. Probably the under. I'm going to take the Texans the under just because I want to see how bad Richardson looked in the preseason, if he got any coaching talking, or if he was just trying to do dumb shit because it's the preseason and just not get hurt. Like, sometimes you could do that. Sometimes you could just YOLO it and fuck it and see what happens and go, okay, it doesn't work. We won't do that in a real game.
No, this feels like a 27-13, 27-16 kind of game. So I got the Texans in the under as well. I agree there. Jaguars staying in state. Taking on the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins -3.5, over under 49.
I feel like this is going to be an under game, too. Just because the Jaguars had, four or five games last year where they scored, single-digit points or barely double digits. And the Dolphins, they either score 70 or they score 20. So,
I mean, I'm underimpressed with the Jaguars' secondary, and you know, we know Tua can throw the deep ball. Hill's healthy. Their running backs are healthy, so the play action actually means something on that side of the ball. So I think Miami, they've scored a lot of points against the teams that weren't exceptionally good last year, and Jaguars are not exceptionally good. I think the Jaguars will be better offensively, though, than they were. So I got the Miami in the over.
Yeah, I'll take Miami in the under just because, again, it's one of those I just want to see it type things.
Panthers-Saints. Saints -4 at home, over under 42. Yeah, I'm as thrilled about this game as you are. I'll take the Saints in the under.
Yep.
We can probably keep moving along. Vikings at the New York Football Giants. Giants +1.5 at home, over under 41. I'll take the Giants at home, and I would not touch the over under in this game.
What was the over-under?
41.
See, that's dangerous, because both teams kind of suck.
By the way,
that's easy to get to.
I missed one of my locks of the week. Houston -3 at Indy is my first lock.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot to talk about that, too. Do I have any? I mean, the Bengals are the easy lock because the Patriots suck. I won't even say that because that's just not fair.
Well, just take it, then. Take it. Cincinnati minus 8.5, right?
Fine, I'll take it just because the Patriots suck. But Vikings, Giants, it's Darnold versus Dan Jones. No one wants to see this game. It should be blacked out for local. And I'm local, so I hope I don't see it on fucking NBC or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not.
I agree with you. It's probably the Giants. Over-under is dangerous, though.
Yeah, definitely. All right, late afternoon, 4 o'clock hour Eastern games. Raiders taking on the Chargers. This is my second lock of the week. Chargers minus 3 at home against the Raiders. Just the coaching matchup alone, not to mention the excessive amount of talent on the Chargers in comparison to a Raiders roster. If I had to pick the over-under at 40.5, I'd probably go over, but my lock is the Chargers minus 3 at home.
I like that.
Yeah?
I do like that. Yep,
doubling up on that for a lock?
Sure, I'll double up.
Oh, yeah. Look at you. Double lock. Double lock! Lock it down! No? That's all I had.
Nah. This isn't TNA. It's not lockdown. Calm down.
Nah. Broncos Seahawks. This could be a good game. Seahawks hosting the Broncos minus 6.
Could be a bad game too, though.
Over under 42. I like the Broncos here. I think the Broncos are going to be a lot better this year, the second year under Sean Payton. How much better? I guess we'll see how good the rookie quarterback Bo Nix can be. But I'll take the Broncos. I wouldn't take them on the money line. I would definitely take those points, and I would take the over in this game.
Yeah, I definitely think the Broncos have a better shot at winning this game than the Seahawks. I feel like Geno had his one, flash in the pan Tommy Maddox year, and then we're not going to get, good Geno ever again. So, yeah, I'll just go Broncos. Over, right. Under? Probably under.
Under 42?
Yeah.
Okay.
I see it being more defensive, or, Knicks just not scoring more field goals and shit like that. He's still young. He's still figuring out the playbook.
Oh, I agree. 425 games, two of them. Cowboys at Browns. Browns 2.5-point favorites over the Cowboys at home. Over 41.5. I'll take the Cowboys here. I take the money line as well. I don't need those points, and I'm definitely going over 41.5 here.
I'll go with the Browns. Fuck it.
Okay. That's it?
Not a lock. Just fuck it. Take the Browns. I don't know. This is a tough game to pick, honestly. Because you don't know what the Cowboys are going to be. They should be decent, but who the fuck knows? The Browns, Deshaun, you don't know if you're going to get good Deshaun or bad Deshaun. We haven't seen good Deshaun in years. I guess we could kind of count that second half when he, broke his rotator cuff or whatever and then was gone for the rest of the year. But we'll see. Browns still have a bunch of decent pieces. Their defense is still probably better than the Cowboys because the Cowboys are missing, Deron Bland and a few other people. Yeah, so I'll take the Browns. And over-under was what?
41.5.
Yeah, I'll say over.
Okay.
Browns with the over.
Okay. The last late afternoon game, I'm sure Andrew will be paying attention this weekend. The Commanders at the Buccaneers. Bucks 3.5-point favorites at home, over under 43.5. Andrew, I like the Commanders this season, and I would take the points in the Commanders here.
Yeah, I don't hate the Commanders on paper, but they still don't really have a defense. And the Bucks brought back a good portion of their team from last year, missing a couple pieces here or there, but they replaced what they could, and they don't look too different. I think the Bucks game will be my third lock, and I'll pick the Bucks to beat the Commanders.
Okay.
With the under, though. Under.
But your lock is Tampa Bay minus 3.5.
Correct.
Okay. Sunday night game here on NBC. Rams at Lions, another sleeper good game. How good can the Rams be this year?
Part two, Revenge of the Trade.
Yeah, can they, it is. Can they stay healthy? Can the Lions stay healthy and continue their ascent in the NFC ranks? Lions -3.5-point favorites, over under 51. I mean, I like a giant shootout in this game. Give me the over and give me the Rams.
If it's a shootout, give me the Lions. Goff wins shootouts. Goff beat the Chiefs with a shootout. Goff, you know, won the first part of the trade fight last year. So let's see if the Lions can kick off with me putting them at 2 accurately.
Yeah, there's no way you could not pick the Lions here after you put them that high in the power rankings.
I mean, technically I did validate if I didn't pick them because the Rams are one of the few like harder, you know, matchups they have this year.
No, I agree. The Rams should be a playoff football team this year. Monday Night Football, over under 4.5, Aaron Rodgers plays.
I was going to say, is that plays or points? Yeah, there you go.
Jets head west to face the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers are 4-point favorites, over under 43. This is my final lock of the week, the 49ers -4 at home. This is a double-digit win for the Niners. It's just a matter of whether or not the Jets get any traction for whatever they're going to do on offense here traveling across the coast.
I'm not going to argue with you because it's Aaron Rodgers against the 49ers. He doesn't win that game.
Not anymore.
But what do you mean anymore? Whenever did he?
Oh, that was Brett Favre. Favre owned the Niners until the fucking last, until that Terrell Owens catch, which Jerry Rice fumbled the ball on that drive and the game should have been over.
I know, but it's funny how you're just like, no, oh wait, no, that was Brett Favre. That was 20 years ago when the Packers are good against the Niners.
I've been having consistent Hall of Fame quarterbacking up for my team since late 92, so it's hard to.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Sorry for your just like, you know, embarrassment of riches.
Yeah. Yeah, the road has been clearly marked for the last, you know, 20, 30 years. I still feel like we're on the same road, though, currently, even though it's not as clearly defined and marked. It still feels the same. The road still feels the same.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Those are our picks, folks. Locks of the week. Andrew's got Cincinnati -8 versus New England. We both have the Chargers -3 versus the Raiders. Andrew's got the Buccaneers -3.5 versus Washington. I got the Niners -4 versus the Jets. And Houston on the road -3 against Indy. Those are our locks of the week. Tune in next week to see how wonderfully we did.
Probably bad.
Probably bad. Probably not good. That's why we play
just
Queen.
Just like last year. That's bet why, against whatever we say, pick the opposite.
It's not. Listen, we can sleep well at night knowing that we play Cuidado before every time we give our picks for the week, right?
Damn right. Should caution you. If you don't speak Spanish, Google it.
If you didn't listen to The Oddity this morning, go back and listen to that right there on ChairShot Radio Network. You follow me at PC Tony. Follow this show at ChairShot NFL. Andrew, where can everybody find you?
On the Twix, Twitter, X, whatever the fuck we're calling that fucking thing, IWC War Chief. There you go. And, of course, at thechairshot.com covering TNA and any kind of weird TNA-adjacent things. I don't know. I haven't really gotten into, like, the Japanese stuff lately, last couple of years. It's kind of bored me.
Understandable over here.
I mean, yes, it never entertained you. I'm aware of that.
At times, here's and there's.
Here's and there's,
yeah,
over there's. The years, here's and there's, but yeah, no, it's just, it's gotten bad. Like yeah. Noah's still pretty decent. New Japan kind of, it's turned into AEW's farm system, and all Japan's been kind of a joke for a couple of years. So I don't know. It's aside from TNA, it's hard to find something for me to consistently like sink my teeth into. And TNA has been iffy last few weeks, months. Ugh. I have learned that if your name is Tony, you should not have anything to do with fucking wrestling.
You can always come back to the dark side, my friend.
I have watched WWE a little bit. I watched all of No Mercy, which was NXT.
Maybe you should start covering NXT.
Mitchell does a good job. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Until next week, for Andrew Velez, I am PC Tony. Thank you to all our listeners on the ChairShot Radio Network and thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Enjoy the football weekend, folks. It's the first of 20 more.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.